Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In the gospel lesson that you heard just minutes ago, John the Baptist asks a question that has been asked essentially for 2,000 years. Who is Jesus? One of my heroes, Billy Graham, in 1971 in Chicago, preached one of his most effective and powerful sermons with a very simple title, Who is Jesus? Sadly, if you go to YouTube these days and type in Who is Jesus, you will be sent to a long series of person-on-the-street interviews. People who are ambushed with a microphone and the question, Who is Jesus? Because the video makers are looking for sensation, they always pick the most outrageous answers to put on the video. It is only very rarely that an answer will show any kind of reverence or love for Jesus. Beyond that, I think it's quite true in our day that there is an increasing number of people who scoff at Jesus. Now, that is nothing new. It is already almost 200 years ago that Karl Marx wrote, in a much longer quote, that religion is the opium of the people. 2,000 years ago, it was the religious leaders who cast aspersion on Jesus' activity and his character. It was they who scoffed at Jesus. But in today's reading, I think that we are somewhat surprised that it is John the Baptizer who asks the question, Who is Jesus? John knows who Jesus is. The two were born just months apart, related, although we don't know how close that relation is. John is the one appointed to prepare the way, prepare for Jesus. John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. One day, John sees Jesus coming toward him, and he proclaims for all the world, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John knows who Jesus is. But perhaps it is because of John's circumstance that he asks the question in today's gospel reading. You see, John is in prison. Maybe this Jesus thing has not gone quite as well as he and other people had hoped. He might particularly be thinking about the line Jesus has used that the imprisoned will be set free. John is not being set free. Some of you know of his grisly end in the Bible. He is never going to get out of prison. So from prison, John sends two of his followers to Jesus to ask the question, Are you the one to come, or are we to wait for another? That is an incredible question coming from John the Baptizer. Now, Jesus has an answer for the two followers. Jesus says, Take a look around. The blind see, the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the lame walk, the leper are cleansed. People have good news preached to them. In other words, go and tell John that I am caring for people. My care will sometimes be of their physical needs. Other times my care will be bringing the good news, caring for people's spiritual needs. Now, there is a ton of other things happening in this very long gospel, but key to our understanding who Jesus is understanding his love for all of God's people. Then Jesus goes on to lift up John as the greatest person ever born of a woman, but with a corollary that the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than John because the people in the kingdom of God are born not just of women, but are born of the Spirit. These are people of Christ in this next new kingdom. 4 weeks ago today, exactly, there was a man who was receiving proton beam therapy at the Mayo Clinic who came to one of our worship services. He found warmth and joy in a place during one of our bitterly cold stretches in January. After the worship service, he was kind to wait until I had shaken hands and had little conversations with so many before he launched into a little bit longer conversation with me, wanting to thank me for the worship service and being sure to greet the people of Bethel, that he was thankful to all that you provided for him in that hour of worship as well. But it is what happened next that speaks volumes of our caring for people in the name of Jesus. This man left our church out into the cold, low single digits of the day and met one of our Bethel members on a street corner. For whatever reason, these two, in the cold of that day, struck up a conversation outside, a conversation about the love and care of Jesus Christ. In that conversation, the man revealed a few things about himself, including that he was seeking treatment at the Mayo Clinic, and that his wife had died some time ago. This Bethel member, a nurse, also confided in him that her husband had died some while ago as well. These were two souls meeting in conversation. In an email of thanks to this Bethel member, our visitor wrote, "Only those of us who have been there can experience the depth and mystery of the loss." In that Bethel member, this visitor recognized one of Earth's angels, because his wife too had been a nurse angel on this earth. He went on again to talk about his appreciation for the worship service that day and closed with, "And my meeting you on the street corner was frosting on the cake." Those of you who have been around here for a long time know of my great admiration for the Mayo Clinic, for the dedication of all who live there, who contribute their lives to the care and health of people in our region and around the world. But I would suggest to you that the conversation I just reported to you above is not going to take place in a proton beam therapy room. It's not going to happen at the Canadian Honker or McDonald's. I can tell you it's not going to happen at a wrestling match or a basketball game. It happened on a cold street corner outside of a church where hundreds had just gathered to hear about the love and care of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Jesus is one who has come to give hope even to people who have sought out the most advanced medical treatment in all the world. Jesus is one who has come to give hope to those people who have suffered the greatest losses in life. It is Jesus' intent to make whole people in body and in spirit. Who is Jesus? We can go to another Bible story, this one in Luke 9, two chapters beyond where we are today. Words that we will not read in our narrative lectionary in this sequencing. Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They come up with the answers that they have heard. John the Baptizer, Elijah, one of the other prophets. Then Jesus confronts them with our question of the day. Who is Jesus? Or to hear it from Jesus' lips in the Bible, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And in Matthew's recounting of the story, it is Simon Peter who proclaims, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which Jesus responds, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Just think of that, people of God. Peter's confession is so powerful that it blows the doors off of hell. Is it any wonder that a man here to receive medical treatment can feel the power and the love that is proclaimed in a place like this? Who is Jesus? Now, clearly, everybody has questions. Even John the Baptizer had questions. Peter had his doubts, perhaps illustrated most aptly by his sinking into the sea when he lost sight of Jesus in the storm. We will have questions. Who is Jesus? Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another answer? And people are looking for answers everywhere in our day. Now, I think we've gone beyond government and the political system to be the final answer for anything. But are you still looking in the stock market or secure employment or safe housing or food or medicine? There's really only one answer that will satisfy. With Peter, may we proudly proclaim, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Hymn 325, please rise and sing.